This episode is brought to you by the Quackalope Patreon, the people who forced Jan and I to move into an apartment with each other as some sick, twisted test to see if ducks and geese really can thrive in one single homestead.
This episode of the Quackalope Podcast is being recorded in a singular room, meaning that for the first time in the Quackalope Podcast history,
we can actually hold hands.
Don't touch me. Thank you very much.
Is this supposed to be a cold open, Jesse?
Welcome to the Quackalope Podcast, a podcast about games we've only played once. The reality is most board games are only brought to the table one time.
And so first impressions matter.
We made a podcast about ours. I'm your enigmatic host, Jesse Anderson, and with me is the one, the only, the handsome young individual.
I think you've used this one before.
Who has stolen my heart and thrust himself into my life. Jan Bigos.
Hello, hello, everybody. ¿Cómo están?
So there's been big news, Jan.
Yes, a super anuncio, inmenso. Un canal en español, I guess. Okay.
You're super excited about Quackalope. That's what I'm getting.
Yes, we are launching a Spanish channel.
Ooh, yeah, we are.
Instead of saying Quackalope now, you can say Quackalope.
But, Jan, that's not the biggest thing. For the podcast listeners out there, Jan and I have officially moved in together.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing.
We're not going to spend a long time talking about it, but here's what you should know. If you enjoy the podcast, if you've enjoyed listening to it, there is going to be something we're going to need from you. We're going to ask from you. Swing over to patreon.com/quackalope and at least put a dollar behind us. The reality is content takes time, and we've extended a degree of risk in terms of pursuing this community, our dream, and the content that we make here on the podcast, the main channel, the website, and the communities that we build. For us to make this possible long term and continue producing content like this, we're going to need you to tell us that you want us to do it.
100%. And to everyone that's already part of the Patreon, thank you so very much
you
for making this happen.
Allow us to do this.
100%. And Jesse, with all that,
we're covering everyone's favorite game,
Santorini by Roxley Games.
Risk, the Legacy Edition.
No, that's not what we agreed to.
It's what? Okay. I've just played three game sessions of it in preparation.
Why?
Actually, I don't know. That joke doesn't work because three game sessions would invalidate even bringing it to the channel.
I'm just glad that I didn't have to bring it up, Jesse.
Here's the important thing. We've both only played Santorini once, which is why we're able to talk about it.
Yeah. Yes, I have. Only once. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about Santorini. Santorini is an abstract game, and it's one of these abstracts that feels a little bit timeless, just like games like Tac, chess. And I know you don't like chess, but it does feel like that a little bit. It feels like it's been there for the longest time.
I don't know if I agree with you on that.
Then I guess we'll talk about it in our episode of Played It Once.
Oh, is that a preview to the episode that's literally coming within the next 5 minutes on the show?
Well, maybe.
You here, stick around, don't be spoiled, and find out, does Jesse really believe Santorini is subpar at best?
Wow, what? Oh, okay. We're in front of each other, so fist fights may occur. So fists may fly in your direction,
as
depending
on
what
you answer.
As long as you
don't tickle me, Jan, I'm probably going to be okay.
Well, it depends where my fists land. They could end up in a tickle spot. I don't know. I can't say.
My whole body's a tickle spot, Jan.
So, Santorini, as I said, is an abstract game. And what makes Santorini particularly simple and special is that all you're doing is moving two pieces. And every time that you move a piece...
Simple.
No. No. You stop making up words. That does not work, and it will never work. When you move one of these two pieces, you're able to start building structures. The goal of the game is to ultimately build a structure that is three levels high, and that you're able to get one of your little characters or meeples on top of that tower.
So, Jan has a hard time describing games that allow you to visualize them. Imagine an open plane, a construction area, a flat piece of ground, and your architect's moving around the city. You're going to be building base structures, levels on top of that, and then finally this giant little, what's that called? The
tower?
Roof or the tower,
structure,
a spire at the very top where you could observe the sky, watch the stars, and watch birds flitter about the city that you've constructed. The balance and flow of this game is going to be you moving your player piece around the board, either one of the two that you control trying to erect those structures, moving up higher and higher as you go and either blocking off other players' opportunity to win, or, hopefully, creating your own unique little concoction of highs and lows that allow you to sneak your way to that third floor.
And if that was all, then Santorini would be an okay abstract. But what makes Santorini particularly special is the ridiculous abundance of special player powers.
Oh, praise God.
Which are given to by godly divination? I don't know how that word goes.
Look, you're going to be playing with people like Zeus and Hercules and Poseidon. Am I getting any of them right?
Yes, all you actually got them all right.
I haven't seen a single god character other than the one I played with, which I believe, was it a Loki?
No, it wasn't Loki. It was something different. Point is that each one of these gods is going to give you a special player power that's very simple,
but can
completely change.
I thought it was like a running guy.
Maybe. But they change the game completely. So the puzzle that you face every time that you come into Santorini is totally different depending on the variation and the combination of god powers that you're given at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, it's a interesting dynamic and balance. It's the same core principles and systems, but those god powers really twist up your experience. And if you get the right god power, it will really transform the puzzle that you're trying to solve.
So just to give a few more clarifications here, Santorini is mainly a two-player game. However, there are variants where you can play on team versus, so you can have four players. And an example of a turn is very simple. Out of the two player pieces that you have, you will choose one of them, and you're able to move to any space that is adjacent to that piece. That could be diagonal or immediately orthogonal. Once you move that piece, you're able to create a level, a foundation, or a different level depending on where you're at, and start building something. But the order of your turn and what you must always do every single time that you play on your turn is move a piece and build something. And the trick eventually becomes whoever makes it to the end wins, and there's ways that you can stop that by building cupolas or creating blocks.
The end being the third height. Getting to the top of that allows you to win. Now, again, your opponent can cap off those third towers, preventing anyone from scoring on them, yourself and your opponent. And like we said seven times already, god powers break the rules, allowing you to move an infinite number of times, give you special powers, jump over different towers, get out of tight positions, steal other players' god powers, lift buildings over your head, and place them gently into your mouth. There's a lot of things that the god powers allow you to do.
And so let's talk a little bit about context, Jesse. So I'll let you go first because I have a little bit more context.
I have played this game once. I've heard a decent amount about it. I've never really been too capped by the premise of it, and you taught me it. So the odds of me getting things wrong, very high.
Well, that would actually be a huge detriment to my teaching skills, because Santorini only has basically two rules.
Three rules.
Okay. Well,
include the god cards in there, Jan. The god cards.
Sure. For me, I actually got Santorini the very first time it came out from the Roxley print back in the day. Santorini used to be a much more traditional abstract, very similar to Tack. It had wooden pieces. It was very beautiful and simplistic. However, when that reprint went onto Kickstarter, they started adding these god powers, from what I understand. And when they did that, they sent out a large Kickstarter. They included expansions and all the things. I was able to get the all-in for it, which wasn't that exaggerated at that time. And I think this was one of the first ever board games that I discovered with slightly deluxified components. I had not seen something like that before.
Now, the deluxification on this is nice, but I gotta be honest, it's probably been eclipsed by the newer generation of deluxified games. Now, that doesn't mean it's not great, and for the price point, I'm sure it's incredible.
Yeah.
But it's not as fancy as maybe I was expecting initially.
I actually absolutely love the level, the aesthetics of the components and how they contribute to the game. But either way, that's still getting into opinions still. I have definitely not played.
Stay tuned after this break to find out if Jan really does love this game.
I have definitely not played Santorini just once. I've played Santorini multiple times.
Give me your microphone. I'll continue and finish this episode.
Okay, Jesse, I hear you.
Give me your microphone.
No, don't
Jan,
touch.
Jan?
No.
Give me your microphone.
No,
Jan.
Jesse. Get.
Jan, give it to me.
Oh,
seriously?
I told you to get away from me.
All right.
I told you to get
That's
away from me. I warned you, right? At least I didn't, slap
no.
you in your tickle
That's fine.
Spots.
You want to play this game?
Yeah, well, we're also going to play Santorini after this, I'm assuming.
I hope so. We'll finish this fight on the battlefield.
So I played this game over 15 times. Every time that I've gone on this game, I've refreshed the rule book. It takes me about maybe 1 to 2 minutes to remember everything I need. And I just go. The way that the game has been constructed in terms of the learning of it is very straightforward. You start with going for the very basic game without God powers, understanding how you move, how you build, how you go up buildings, and how you're able to block people. After that, you start incorporating the God powers, and there's two things that you're going to be able to do with those God powers. You're either going to A, be able to learn straight from the beautiful pamphlet that they have. They have excellent breakdowns on each one of them, or actually, this is really interesting. They have an app for every single God power with little animations on how each God power works. Okay, so you have a visual guide and an example of what is happening on your board. And this actually took a few years after the Kickstarter went live, but I believe it is completed already.
Now, Santorini is going to be one of those games that has a reprint, variations, and a ton of love and community and
Santorini,
fan
New
support.
York.
And I think you're probably not alone, or I can guarantee you're not alone, in the fact that you have discovered, embraced, and continued to explore this game. The fact that they produced an app years after the production release of this and now have different variations of it, it goes to show that this is, like you established at the beginning, a probably entry-level classic.
You're making me worried, Jesse.
But here's my
No, there's
thing.
No buts. There's
I'm
no buts.
I'm not convinced that it's
what?
How you described it in the other way.
What?
A game that felt like it always existed or should have always been
well,
there.
Well, okay, so there's two versions of Santorini. There's the version that definitely looks like it has been here the entire time with wooden blocks, the more abstract traditional elements, and then there's the Roxley edition. The base game of Santorini, I do believe that it could be one of these games that just lives on a table and has beautiful presence.
So it's just wooden blocks and a little dial
exactly
moving.
Like Tac. Exactly like Tac. However, the new version
the
is
the
gamer
has
version.
Beautiful Greek temples and structures, Roman architecture.
A little bit cartoony.
It's a bit more cartoony. And I even got to admit, the god powers and special abilities that you get, it feels like a new game. Not in a bad way.
Everything.
Not in a bad way. But yes, that core base puzzle, if you made it out of only blocks and didn't include extra mechanics,
yep.
does feel classic.
Exactly.
However,
That's what I mean.
That's not the game I played.
Sure. So let's not compare the game that I love, yes, I absolutely love Santorini.
Yeah.
Let's not compare that one to timeless classics. Let's just talk about it as an abstract in this field.
I don't know that it beats other games in its genre. Now, that is not...
What games have you played in its genre?
To be said that it is not a immaculate game, but... Tac, both of those.
Tiki-tac.
And tic-tac-toe, I think, are going to be able to stand
okay, you take
on
that
their
back.
Own.
I will actually slap you if you take that back.
Shobu and Tac, for me, I think still control the abstract puzzle space of my brain. Hmm. They itch and engage in a way that Santorini just didn't. Now, it could have been the play experience. It could have been the one environment. It could have been us relaxing and having fun. But I would very comfortably introduce, recommend, and encourage people to play it. But I'm not running out to get a copy of it or leave it open on my table in front of me. I left Alex's house genuinely wanting to have a copy of Tac.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it didn't replace Shobu. I don't know which one's better. I think they're equal. And I think Santorini is equal in its own right, but equal as a family game, equal as a introductory game. I think it has a ton of reason to be owned and purchased by people who are just getting into the hobby and enjoy abstracts as a new age abstract. I still think Shobu and Tac are games that like just don't leave. They just don't ever leave.
Well, okay, so people know that I have a cyclical library.
You do.
Santorini is one of the only games that have persisted in my library since I started my library.
People also know you can be wrong on your opinions around a lot of things. So,
okay, Jesse. So it sounds to me like one of the arguments that you're bringing into this particular conversation is that you believe that Santorini
is pequeño.
Doesn't have enough depth to it to keep you engaged. Is that correct?
No, it's not the depth. It's not the depth. It's the way the puzzle just worked on my brain. It was the way the puzzle worked, the way it felt. With Shobu, the puzzle felt like a flowing stream, like shifting rocks, moving and pushing and adjusting each other. It felt like it looks. With Tak, it played and learned in such an interesting progression. One stage leading to another, leading to another. Your abilities and the way that these pieces just convert into new interesting skills, it felt like a snake reaching across the game board and squabbling for control. Santorini felt like city building, sure, but the interplay between the two characters and the depth of interplay between the other player at the board felt less head-to-head, felt less like a pressure mechanic, as opposed to an interesting architectural experiment that at some points built up to a point where you were blocking each other.
So here's where I completely disagree with you. Santorini is a game of deception. Santorini is a game about leading your opponent to believe a certain strategy that you're going for, and then using those two pieces in critical junctures to try and completely derail the experience. The way that you play Santorini, at least in my experience, that you're actually playing two games at the same time.
I mean, I remember you laughed in my face when you trapped one of my pawns behind two buildings.
Mm-hmm. That's only one of the mechanics that you can use in this game. So in Santorini, you have what I would like to define as the confrontational piece. That is a piece that is always going to be near your opponent. And then you have your actual piece that is going to win you the game. And one of the interesting things about this particular abstract is that you get to make that decision as soon as you place those pieces on the board, depending on where you've located them.
I think part of the challenge for me is Santorini felt like it took longer to build to get to a point where I felt like a crux of the game was happening. Shobu starts immediately, and Tak, it was about three turns, maybe four, before I really felt pressure against my opponent.
And so I guess Santorini is going to be very similar to that. Just like the premise of building, you have to build up to those points of contention.
You're building the board that you're playing on, and the puzzle changes based on the person you're going up against.
So Santorini is definitely going to be one of these abstracts that kind of grows with you the more that you play it.
I could see that 100%. For example, maybe my first experience was made lesser because it was with you.
Yeah, that's probably. No, it was probably maybe the god combinations that you weren't able to completely capitalize on your power. I admit, stealing it all the time.
The power that I had was a little bit in flux compared to yours. Your power was literally invalidate your opponents and steal their power. And I prevented you from doing that for a lot of it. But at the end of the day, you won the game because of it.
Yep, correct. So that is where I would say that that is one of the elements of Santorini that could either be a make it or break it for a lot of players. The variation of special god powers is absolutely incredible and adds a lot of changes.
I really like the god powers. I think it's a standout part. It makes it more of a modern gaming experience.
Exactly. However, because it's more of a modern gaming experience, it also adds to the opportunity that some powers just do not work with each other, creating situations where people are just not having fun or not being able to engage with that core puzzle.
I don't think it's as extreme as that. I'd be very skeptical to see two god powers that don't have some degree of reasonable competitiveness. However, for a new player, I think teaching them without the god powers first is probably the best way to bridge into this. And I really, the fact that you've mentioned there's a wooden block version of this game, I'm much more interested in that play experience than I am in the production copy from Roxley. I understand why people love it. For abstracts, I don't know that I need that depth of theme and high production quality.
For sure. And I think,
but I'm also weird. I like roll down windows in cars, like manually, and I prefer not to use dishwashers. So take everything I say with a solid grain of the 1800s.
Yeah, you're strange. I want to talk a little bit about what makes Santorini particularly special to me and why I have kept this in my library for so long. I believe the Santorini is the perfect medley between what I considered an abstract to be and what I consider contemporary design to be, right? I haven't played Tack, and Tack sounds absolutely breathtaking in the way that it's implemented.
It's not that good, Jen. You should probably mediate and moderate your expectations.
However, with that said,
I'm going to be honest. Don't even think you'll like it.
Santorini just does something that I hadn't ever seen before in tabletop gaming at that juncture in my life. I had the only game that ever compared to Santorini that I had experienced at that time was chess. And suddenly comes this game that's adding verticality. It's adding 3D dimension. That's adding this idea of going up steps and being able to anticipate your opponent, where they're going to step to, where, what platforms are going to create. It adds these three layers of competition. You have that ground level, you have that second floor, that third floor, and then finally where that cupola is going to go. And that idea of constantly struggling and fighting against your opponent to determine what plane they're actually planning to, where they're actually thinking of going, how they're going to implement that player power in every turn, because every single game is going to be a new puzzle. That is what I believe Santorini brings to the table that is very different to the other abstracts. For example, in Tack, it's one of these games that has infinite depth to it, but it is a game that will ultimately play very similarly, regardless of how many times you play it, just because it is part of the convention of the style. The same thing with Shobu. There's only one way to play. But literally every time you sit down with Santorini, it is a completely new puzzle. And for someone that enjoys crunching their brain in like just flexing to the left and flexing to the right, flexing forward or flexing backwards, that...
I personally don't like flexing that much.
Dynamism is fantastic and something that you wouldn't actually expect from an abstract of this nature. And the fact that it can work so well with so many different types of small tweaks here and there, I find to be so compelling and innovative in a certain degree. Applying that to what was usually a classic, very basic and simple 3D abstract game. So, as I said, it's a game of deception. It's a game of pre-planning, and it's a game of really working in two and three different planes of action. And that concept, that main conceit, is why I believe the Santorini is a game that could honestly survive in any modern gamer's library if they're looking for something that's a little bit slightly lighter. But if you delve into it and you play more and more and you gain that experience, it's going to have that depth that's going to keep you coming back for more and more and more. I will 100% say, I believe the Santorini is beautiful, but it does not have that table presence that just belongs on a coffee table for everybody to play. It feels a little bit childish in the way that the illustrations are made. I love them.
I think they're beautiful, but I agree it's not a centerpiece.
Exactly, but that's totally fine because it is a centerpiece.
Oh, most things aren't centerpieces. I mean, many would argue I'm not.
You're definitely not. It is a centerpiece of my gaming library. It is the one game that I always feel comfortable bringing to someone that knows chess or that knows checkers or that knows all of these more traditional games. And it's something that I know is guaranteed for them to have fun and challenge. I actually played this with my mom and she loved it.
I have no argument with you here. It is, as far as I can read, probably one of the best intro bridge games I have seen that I think Shobu and Tack or Tack, however you say it, tic-tac-toe. I think Shobu and that game pause the conversation. Mm-hmm. They're adjacent. They're good. They're as good, if not better, than those classics. This one says, hey, there's something more in this hobby. It's a little kiddie. It's a little different. It has a little bit of a different tactical feel. It has these weird powers and steps that you can take. And just like Catan, Ticket to Ride, Cockroach Poker bridge you into a conversation in this industry of, well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. That was different. What is going on here? And what's just, there's something right above that hill. This does that in a way that other abstracts don't. I don't know that it's better. For me, I don't know that it's better, but I think it's a great, great way to get started.
With that said, I think it also survives in a library of a much more seasoned gamer, which sure. I am. And I would, to this day, I would never let go of Santorini.
I would be not happy yet. To sit down back at the dinner table with you and play another round of it.
Speaking of, Jesse, the most important question of this show.
Mm.
Did you enjoy it? And would you play it again?
I'm going to be honest. I probably would not play this again with you. And I just said that I would. I just said I'd be happy to give it away a little bit early.
I know, but the question needs to be asked.
You're right.
Oh my gosh.
I did enjoy the gameplay experience, even though I felt like I was at a disadvantage due to your experience, which is not untrue in most abstracts.
Oh, yeah, for 100%. Play TAC with an expert, you're going to get trounced.
I would absolutely play it again, but because you have it in your library, and here's another stretch, I'd be happy to teach it, but because you have it in your library, I probably wouldn't go out of my way to own it currently.
Sure. Sure, and you also have Shobu, and I understand that you might have. I personally want us to get a tack board that is as beautiful as the ones that we've seen. And so I'll go ahead and swing in and answer the question myself.
Let me ask you the question. Yeah. Jan, would you play it again, and did you enjoy it?
Why would you ask it like that?
I'll try it again. Jan, would you again play it?
Oh, my Lord.
And enjoy it, did you?
Oh, what are you, Yoda now? What are you doing? It's horrible.
All right, let me go for it again.
No, I'm fine. I understand the premise of the question.
Okay.
We're good to go. I love this game. It's never leaving my library. If it's not in my top 10, it's like my 11th game. I'm not sure where exactly it falls right now because I tend to be more of a Euro gamer. But there's something about Santorini that's absolutely magical. It might have even been my time in Capri when I was there. I traveled once, and I remember the structures.
Wow,
and
a man of the world.
How fancy. I don't know.
Capri there, will you? Well, I've been to Eastern Kentucky in the Bluegrass Hills. Have you ever been to Mammoth Cave, sir, and watched the lights go out when they turn the lanterns off? I have.
That sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful. Largest cave system in the world.
But there's a certain nostalgia with this game that I don't think I'll ever let go of. And it's one that I just kind of want to play right now, and I want to play tomorrow a quick second, and I want to play the next day. I really, really recommend everybody to check this game out if you want it, if it sounds cool.
It might be one of the very first games that you bring to Cuacalope, your Spanish channel.
Yes.
Because it's just that type of game. It deserves to have a conversation. And Jesse, with that...
That's a show.
That's going to be a show. Let us know what you think of the audio quality. We did record these together, which should make editing and everything so much easier.
In theory.
Assuming the production quality was as substandard as it normally is. Along with that, for those of you that mid-episode thought, dear God, did Jan just smack Jesse?
I did. And I will again.
No.
If he steps out of line.
I'll clarify, and just for those that are curious. Mm. Yeah, he did.
This latest failed attempt at bringing you quality entertainment was brought to you by the Cuacalope Podcast. We love to hear from you, so don't forget to leave a review and subscribe. If you'd like to connect with us, follow us on any of our social channels or visit our website. But regardless of what you do, remember to do the important thing. Get out and play some games. Until next time.